بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. We continue the explanation on the beneficial sayings of the book of Tawheed, and the author rahimahullah related, in addition to the previous texts and proofs, he related the hadith of Ibn Abbas. May Allah be pleased with both of them. And in which Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said that لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زائرات القبور والمتخذين عليها المساجد والسرج. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma related that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed the woman who visit the graves, and those who set up places of worship and mosques and lights over graves. And it's reported by Ahlus Sunan. What does the meaning of the term curse mean? Is to put someone remorse from receiving the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the meaning here, it refers to an invocation by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the curse of Allah be upon them. Who are they? Za'irat al-qubur. Za'irat is a plural of za'ira. And the ziyara, the visit, means to go to the graves, and this takes different forms, or there are its different types. First type, that which is a sunnah, and this is the visit of men to go to the graves in order to be admonished concerning the death and hereafter, and also to invoke Allah for the dead. This is approved for men, and this is from the sunnah. And from that which is an innovation is for them to go to invoke Allah at the grave and to recite the Quran at the grave and so forth. This is bid'ah, this is innovation. And also from the other type is that which constitutes shirk. And this means ascribing partners to Allah in worship. And this is in the manifested by visiting the graves to invoke the dead, to invoke the occupants of the graves, and to seek their help and seek refuge in them and the like. In another narration from the hadith of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم زوارات القبور. That Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed زوارات. And this is an exaggeration in the wording, which means those who frequently go performing many visits. Then the second part of the hadith, and those who take the graves as places of worship and hang lights around them. And this is the point of evidence. This is the point of evidence in this hadith. And we learned earlier that taking them as places of worship has two forms to it. First, to take them as sites for prayer at the grave. Second, to build mosques on or places of worship on them. And with respect to the lights, to hang lights around them day and night out of magnification and excessiveness. And this hadith indicates the forbiddance upon women to visit the graves, but rather even that this is from the major sins, because the cursing applies when there is a major sin. Also, the hadith indicates as evidence the forbiddance to take the graves as places of worship and to have lights over graves and around them, and that this is also one of the major sins because of the curse linked to this action. Now, what's the relevance of this narration to the title of the subject? Why, we learned earlier that the subject is concerning the excessiveness regarding the righteous and the graves. So taking them, taking these places as places of worship, and hanging lights over them and around them, is exaggeration and excessiveness, because this would lead, after that, this will lead to the worship of these sites. An issue here: what is the relationship between the first statement or the first wording or the first statement in the hadith and the second statement? The first statement concerning those women who visit the graves, and the second statement of the hadith related to those who take them as places of worship. The linkage is apparent. Why? Because due to the nature of the woman and her softness and emotion and weakness concerning patience and perseverance, she may end up worshipping the grave occupants out of inclined emotions towards them. And that's why the hadith linked that to those who take them as places of worship and hang lights over them or around them. Now, does this also apply to situations where if someone, or if electric lights are used to light the area? The answer: in the places where people don't need these lights, as if like in situations where the graveyard may be wide, and there is a place where people had used already for burying their dead, then in this case there is no need to have these electric lights. But however, with respect to the site where it's used to bury the dead there, then it may be said that this can be used. Why? Because it's not to be used except during the night. So in this, therefore, there is no indication in this case that this will be an action of magnification for the grave. But it is needed, it is just because of the need. Our Shaykh rahimahullah, however, cautioned that the thing that he went to is to don't allow these things totally because of several reasons. That there is no necessity for that. And secondly, If there is a necessity, then people can use their car lights, and the matter will be clear to them. And they may also carry lights with them if they need them. Thirdly, because if this door is to be opened, then the evil will widen in the hearts of people, and it may run out of control later. So, for example, if we assume that they came and placed the lights after Salat al-Fajr and they buried the dead, who's the one who's going to take care of turning these lights off? The answer, it may be left. And it will be as if this is hanged, meaning hanging lights around them, just as in the hadith. So that's why we see that it's to be disallowed totally. If, however, there is in the graveyard a room or the like where people place the material needed for the burial, then there is no harm in having lights therein, because in this case it is far from the graves and the lights are inside, not seen. And we hope that in this there is no harm. What's important is that the means that lead to shirk, man should stay away from them, keeping them away, and should not look at his time only, but rather he should look for the future where things change, as we have learned with the situation of the righteous in the previous discussions, how after a long time people ended up worshipping them. So the matter is not easy. In this hadith there is evidence which indicates the forbiddance for women to visit the graves, and that this is from the major sins. The scholars, rahimahumullah, had disagreement regarding this matter, centering on three sayings. The first saying is the tahrim, the forbiddance for them to visit the graves, and that this is from the major sins because of this hadith we had just heard. The second opinion, that this matter is disliked and it does not reach the level of forbiddance. This is the famous opinion, or the opinion which is known, well known, from the madhab of Imam Ahmad, as related from his companions, because of the hadith of Atiyyah, may Allah be pleased with her, who said, "Nuhina an ittiba' al-janaiz wa lam yu'zam 'alayna." We were forbidden to accompany the funeral processions, but not strictly. So in accordance with this statement of Atiyyah, the position of this second opinion was derived, that the visit by women to the graves is disliked. The third opinion is that it is permissible for the woman to visit the graves, based upon the hadith of the woman who was afflicted by a calamity, losing a beloved one, And the Prophet ﷺ passed by her while she was crying at the gravesite. And he told her, admonished her, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ وَاصْبَرِي, fear Allah and be patient. She said, إِلَيْكَ عَنِّي, go away. فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَبْ بِمِثْلِ مُصِيبَتِي, you have not been afflicted with the calamity that befell me. The Prophet ﷺ left her. Then she was told, this was Allah's messenger. So she came to him, regretting that, to apologize. And he did not accept her apology. And he said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ, verily patience is at the first impact of the calamity, as in the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 2, verse 372, if we can have that. Yeah. So here the Prophet ﷺ passed by a woman who was weeping beside a grave, and he told her to fear Allah and be patient. She said to him, go away, for you have not been afflicted with a calamity like mine. And she did not recognize him. And she was informed that he was the Prophet ﷺ. So she went to the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and there she did not find any guard. Then she said to him, I did not recognize you. He said, verily the patience at the first stroke of a calamity. So, those who went to the opinion that it is permissible for the woman to visit the grave or the graves, they said that the Prophet ﷺ saw her beside the grave and he did not forbid her from the visit. Rather, he commanded her to fear Allah and be patient. This is one of the evidences they cited. The second evidence they cited is the narration which is affirmed in Sahih Muslim from a lengthy hadith, the lengthy hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. And in this narration, the Prophet ﷺ went at night to visit the Ahlul Baqiyah, the people buried in the Baqiyah cemetery. And he asked Allah forgiveness for them, and he invoked Allah for them. And that Gabriel alayhi salam came and commanded him that night. And so he came out in a way, he kept himself not noticed by Aisha. So he visited and invoked Allah and returned. Then he told her of what he did. So she said, مَا أَقُولُ لَهُمْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what should I say to them, meaning to the occupants of the graves, or Messenger of Allah, meaning in case she visits. قَالْ قُولِي, he directed her to say, السلام عليكم يا أهل الديار من المؤمنين والمسلمين. Say, السلام عليكم, may Allah grant safety upon you all, the occupants of this place, from the believers and the Muslims, to the rest of the narration. So here, the people who went to the opinion that it is permissible for the woman to visit the graves, they said that the Prophet ﷺ taught her the invocation for the visitation to the grave, to the graves. And that his teaching is evidence for permissibility, meaning permissibility for the woman to visit the graves. This is the third opinion. And then some went to the opinion that the visit by the woman to the graves is a sunnah, like that of men. They based it on the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, كُنْتُ نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ فَزُورُوهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُوا بِالْآخِرَةِ فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُكُمْ الْآخِرَةِ. I forbade you earlier to visit the graves. Now you visit them because it will remind you of the hereafter. And they said that this is general for men and women. And they also said that Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, visited the grave of her brother. And Abdullah bin Abi Mulaika said to her, أَلَيْسَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَدْ نَهَى عَنْ زِيَارَةِ الْقُبُورِ. He said to Aisha, didn't the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade visiting the graves? She said, إِنَّهُ أَمَرَ بِهَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ. He commanded this, meaning later. And they said that this is evidence that it is abrogated. So these are the sayings regarding the issue of women visiting the graves. And the correct opinion is the first opinion, that it is forbidden for women to visit the graves, and that this is from the major sins. And as to the other evidences, then if one examines them, we'll find that the explicit of these evidences, the explicit is not authentic, and the authentic of them is not explicit. Is that clear? The explicit from them is not authentic, and the authentic of them is not explicit. From that, for example, is the claim of abrogation. This is incorrect, because it is not accepted unless two conditions are met. First, when it is not possible to reconcile between two texts, and reconciliation here is possible and easy. Why? Because it is possible to say that the address in the Prophet's sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement, I forbade you to visit the graves, but then now you visit them, that this applies to men. And the scholars differed, though, when the address is directed towards men regarding a ruling, would then women be included or not? If we say they are included, and this is the correct opinion, then for them to be included in this statement of the Prophet ﷺ is from the type of دخول, and this is a foundation which we discussed one time, دخول أفراد العام في العموم, that it is of the type where some of the singular accounts of the general has a ruling that differs with the general ruling. And in this case, it is permissible that some of the singular accounts of a general account may particularize the account, the general one, by a ruling which differs from the general account. And in this case, we would say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam particularized the woman regarding this ruling. So his command for the men is particular to them only. Because The woman had been excluded by particularization from this generality. How? Because of the hadith we have now, we are discussing, and that is the cursing of women who visit the graves. So this hadith particularizes the generality and then makes the permissibility particular to men. Also, another thing which nullifies the abrogation is this hadith again. When the Prophet ﷺ said, when the Prophet ﷺ cursed the woman visiting the graves and those who make places of worship on them. Well, how we can conclude this? Because it's known that the second part and those who take them as places of worship, no one claims that this is abrogated. And the hadith is one hadith. So claiming abrogation in one part of the hadith and leaving the other is not right. And so therefore the hadith still is firm, unabrogated. The second condition for abrogation to be applicable is to know the date, the date of the two texts, for example. And in this situation, we don't know the text, we don't know the date, because the Prophet ﷺ did not say, I forbade before those who visit the graves. Or rather, I'm sorry, he did not say, I cursed before those who visited the graves, but he said, I forbade you. And the forbiddance is different from the cursing. In addition, it is an address to men. And the curse and the cursing of the woman visiting the graves is addressed to the woman. So therefore we can't carry the address of men to be for the woman. So therefore in this case, another point to say that this hadith is not abrogated. And to say that it is abrogated is incorrect. Secondly, what about the narration concerning the woman? What about also the narration concerning Aisha's report? What is decisively to be said is that the woman did not go to visit. However, she was touched by the calamity, stricken by the calamity. And because of the impact and the greatness, great impact of the calamity on her, she could not hold herself to stay at home. And that's why she went and began crying beside the grave, which indicates that in her heart there was something so profound that she could not bear. So she went to her son and began crying at his grave. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ commanded her to be patient, because he knew that she did not go out to visit, but because of what was in her heart, unable to bear this great calamity. So therefore, the hadith is not explicit. Here's the point. The hadith is not explicit that she went out to visit. And since this is not explicit, then we cannot take it to oppose what is explicit. We cannot take it as proof to oppose that which is explicit. Is that clear? What about the hadith of Aisha? She asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ماذا أقول? What should I say? So he taught her to say, Assalamu alaikum, to the end of the hadith. Now, the question is this intended for her if she passes by the graves or if she goes to visit? It may be this and it may be that. Because there is no explicit indication that she went out to visit. So it is possible that this may be intended in case she passed by the graves, not making the intention to go and visit the graves. And since it is not explicit, then it cannot stand to face the explicit. Then what about the situation with her brother? Aisha, radiallahu anha, visiting her brother's side, brother's grave. As you remember from the narration, Abdullah bin Abi Mulaika did not face her with the evidence we just talked about, the evidence of cursing the woman visiting the graves. Rather, he faced her with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's general forbiddance to visit the graves. And we know that the general forbiddance was general. And that's why she answered him that this was generally abrogated. And now, even though we say that Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, took as evidence this generality, then she, like other scholars, her statement is not to stand opposing the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's statement. Though it is known, though there is a report which indicates that she asked or she answered by saying, لَوْ شَهِدْتُكَ مَا زُرْتُكَ, meaning, if I had witnessed, meaning your death, then I would not have come to visit you. In this there is evidence that she went out to invoke Allah for him, because she did not witness his funeral. However, this narration has been criticized by some of the scholars, and they said that it is not correctly related to Aisha radiallahu anha. So we remain on the original first report, authentic one, that there is no evidence in this that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogated it. And if she understood that, if she understood that there was abrogation, then in this case, her statement is not to stand facing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement, just like any of the other scholars. طيب. There is a problematic issue remaining, and that is, in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed Zawarat al-Qubur. Zawarat, there is exaggeration in this term, Zawarat. This is a form of exaggeration. Then, in this case, shouldn't we, or isn't it possible to say that the forbiddance refers to frequent visitation, going for many visits, frequently going for many visits? Why? Because the term zawarat is a form of exaggeration. The answer is this is possible. But if we take it as such, then we will lose the donation of the earlier mentioned narration where it states Zairat, and Zairat is general. And the multiplicity or multitude may be carried upon many numbers of doers, not the many actions, but rather many doers. So, Zawarat means the woman, if they are, for example, 100, then their action is many, a multitude in the action. And the multitude with regard to the doer exists in the Arabic language. Take for example in Surah Sa'd, verse 50, 38-50. قال تعالى جنات عدن مفتحة لهم الأبواب. And Aden paradise whose doors will be open for them. Since there are many doors, then came this form of multitude. Since the door does not open except once, but since there are many, it came in this form of multitude. So the multitude may be carried on the to indicate many doers, not the multitude of the action itself. And this leads to the conclusion that the preponderating opinion is the forbiddance for women to visit the graves, and that this is from the major sins. There remains a very important matter which needs to be stressed, that exaggeration in the graves of the righteous makes it or leads to making it as idols. And this is from the means for shirk. And this covers, inshallah ta'ala, the subject of this chapter, chapter 21. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself, for all of you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.